We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Man, I feel real similarly. Actually, this is what I want to say. Is Pastor Julia here? She's not here. Okay, as long as you can hear. So the Lord put this on my heart as I was sitting here to share with you guys. And what I'm about to share with you is stuff that you already know, but it's actually more for your people, but it's for you, if that makes sense. So the Lord was showing me how what God's doing here, we're talking about a move of God, a great awakening, how God's power is going to come across this land. And you're speaking this vision that you know is in your heart, and it's so much greater than you guys. And sometimes people look at you guys and like might actually think you guys are a little cuckoo or whatever. It's a little wild story that you guys are out there. But I literally see God taking you guys as a church from glory to glory and from level to level. And he's doing it for you guys debt-free. And you guys are in a building. You guys were in an apartment place that you guys got promoted out of. And you guys are in this place that y'all are fixing to get promoted out of. And it might start with like some mustard color carpet and some like old pews, but God is giving you guys the best of the best. I promise you that. And he's doing it debt-free in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody give the Lord a shout of praise for that, man. I believe that God's perfect plan is for us to live debt-free. I believe God's perfect plan is to abundantly supply all of our needs. And I see that you guys are doing it wisely. I mean, you know, people might see now, you know, just whatever, Pastor Jeremiah and Pastor Julia, you know, pastors of, you know, church in Brockport, New York. But I'm telling you, I see the hand of God mightily on your life and what God's doing in this region. You guys no doubt are raising up hundreds and thousands of followers. And there's people actually even that are here that you might feel like maybe you're just in obscurity, like, man, I'm just, who am I? God is actually raising you up to a place of leadership, and you don't even know it. And you'll see in years to come and months to come that you all of a sudden have people that you're impacting, that you are making a massive difference in people's life. And you'll be like, man, I remember those days when I just was sitting on the pew and just learning about this, and I had a hard time believing that God wanted me prosperous, and now here I am blessing other people and giving away clothes and giving away this and giving away that. And man, God is going to do that exactly for you. Because here's the deal, is that God won't promote the pastor without also promoting his people. And the level as God promotes his pastors, God will also promote you in that level. So rejoice when you see promotion come on their life, and rejoice when you see promotion within the body, because all ships rise with the tide. Man, this is a word from the Lord. Because all ships rise with the tide. When you have ships that are in the bay, right, and the tide rises, all the ships rise with that tide. Now, if, say, you know, the ocean's out there and the land's over here and you got ships coming in here, well, the tide's coming in. So if I'm the boat on this side and Brian boat over there, Marika boat, and, you know, say the tide comes in, well, it might look like they're getting blessed before me because they're getting rising with the tide first. But I promise you, all ships rise with the tide. I'm going to rejoice when I see Brian boat start to go up, because I know that my blessing is coming right down the way. And let it be so for this church. As you see others get blessed within this church, know that the blessing is coming into your house as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So rejoice as Pastor Jeremiah gets an Apple Watch. Rejoice as people in your church get new vehicles, amen. Hallelujah. I have a word that I'm super excited to share with you guys today. Haggai, if you can turn to the book of Haggai, end of the first chapter. And I'm going to read the first few verses of it. Man, the Lord gave me this message. I'm so thrilled about it. If you had been in any of the meetings the last two nights, is that God has been doing a huge work in this place spiritually. Who here's life has been greatly impacted in the last couple nights? I know my life has. Man, I see the power of God on many of you guys. And this is just falling right in line with it. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the word of God that never returns void. It always accomplishes what it's been sent forth to accomplish. I thank you for your glory that accompanies your word. I thank you for your power that sets us apart from all the other people of this land, that we just don't live nice lives, but we live supernatural lives. We just don't live good lives, but we live lives filled with the glory of heaven, that people will be astounded and amazed at the things that happen in our life, not because of who we are and how great we are, but it's actually in our weakness that your glory is made manifest. So we thank you that as your word comes forth today, Father, that you change our hearts, that you take us to the place that you desire us to be, Father God, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. So I really believe, I'm just speaking prophetically with where God is positioning this church right now. The Lord is putting on my heart that he is beginning a journey for this church, that you guys are embarking on a journey, that the last couple years that God has started to lay a foundation with Pastor Jeremiah, Pastor Julia, there's some things that they've been learning, there's things that you've been learning, but now God has like some of like the, I'll say it this way, he's taking the training wheels off and y'all are now starting on this journey. God is now bringing you through this journey where you're going to start to see great and massive growth within the body of Christ. And this message is specifically designed to seeing God's kingdom advanced in your life. So God, we know that God's nature is good. God's plan is good. So if in heaven, God's plan and God's nature is good, now the question becomes how to see what God has for us manifest. How do we see God's kingdom advance in and through our life? The Bible says that God is separated from time. Eternity is not the forever of time. It's actually the existence apart from time. So we only know the life that we live as what we can look at on a watch and how we can look at in space. But in eternity, there is no time and there is no space. So like here, you can walk through this wall, and well, you can't walk through the wall, but if you were to walk through this wall, say there were a door here and you open it up, you'd be looking at a field right there because that's all that could exist. Well, in heaven, there's no difference in space and time, so let's just say your heavenly mansion, which Pastor's been talking about on Wednesday nights in heaven and hell, if you haven't been there, you should get there. You see, we could be in a place where, like, okay, there's that door right there. Well, if we walk around that door, it could be a part of your mansion, but you could open up that door and it could lead to the bottom of a heavenly ocean. You could be in the bottom, you could be in the forest in heaven because there's no separation of space and time in heaven. It's eternity is not the foreverence of time. It's just totally apart from time. So God already has everything that he needs to get in your life. It already exists in the kingdom of God. Now the question is how to get that which God has for you into this natural life. Whether it's in your business, you have a business and you want to see God's prosperity and full blessing on your business. Whether it's in your family and you have children and you really want to see God come and advance through your children. Whether it's your relationships that you want to see God's hand of joy and peace in all of your relationships. No matter what it is, we have to see God's kingdom advance through our life, and that's what today's message is going to be about. So if you're excited, let me know that you're excited. I'm excited. If you're not, just hop on my excitement. It's enough for all of us. So I'm going to read from Haggai chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first few verses. I'm going to stand here, actually, and then I'm going to go. All right, hallelujah, thank you. Okay, so I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I find the Old Testament's very easy to read in this translation. On August 29th of the second year of King Darius' reign, the Lord gave a message through Prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel. Everybody say Zerubbabel. He was the governor of Judah. And then everybody say Jeshua. He was the high priest. Okay, what I want to just point out about this is very neat. You see, the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel and to Jeshua. Zerubbabel was the governor of Judah, and Jeshua was the high priest. You see, the governor represents the natural kingdom of man, and you see, the high priest represents the spiritual kingdom of God. So when the word of God came, the word of God came both in the natural realm, and it came both in the spiritual realm. When the word of the Lord comes, you read it right here. It was in the second year of King Darius' reign. The word of the Lord came through the prophet to Zerubbabel, which was the governor of Judah, and Jeshua, which was the high priest. That God's plan and God's word come and it addresses both the natural and the spiritual. I'm going to continue reading and then I'm going to come back here. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. No, I'm going to camp out there for just a second. This is the reason why, is because some people so often, they only want to stay in one realm. I want to say this again because we're talking about how to advance the kingdom of God in your life. Some people are so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. I want to say that again. Some people are so spiritually minded that they're no earthly good. We saw this a lot when we were in Bible college. People would, everybody go like this, live by faith. Live by faith, okay? They'd come down, they'd quit all their jobs, they'd be there, and they'd be like, oh man, I'm just living by faith, eating Cheetos and watching TV, you know? That is not living by faith. Just because you put yourself in a stupid situation doesn't mean that you're living by faith. And then other people over here, all they did was they just would work. Actually, most Bible school students didn't do this, but I'm just saying there are other people who do this. And they would just work, and they would just address the natural realm, but they would never apply the spiritual principles in their life as well, too. You see, when the word of the Lord comes to build, the word of the Lord comes in the natural and it comes in the spiritual. There's a marriage in both parts that we must operate in. And I'll say this, we must allow the Lord to operate in both the spiritual and the natural. We can't just do one and we can't just do the other, but it's a perfect blending and it's a perfect mixture of allowing the word of the Lord come in both areas for our life. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, Miss Regina is excited about that. I'm preaching to you this morning, sister. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, and this is where so many people miss it because they're looking at an area. Just think in your life. I was talking to Asif this morning at breakfast about this. Man, in one way, shape, or form, we are all jacked up, man. Every single one of us has a problem. I don't care who you are. I don't care anything about it. Every single one of us has an area in our life that we need God to be involved in. And look at this, man. Every person that's not in this building is exactly the same way. There is not one person from the highest high rise to Rochester to the farthest trailer park in whatever podunk town is around here. There's not one person anywhere in between that does not need the power of God alive and active in their life. It could be a marriage that's falling to pornography. It could be a spirit of drug and alcohol. It could be womanizing, or it could be adultery, or it could be just lying and thievery, or anywhere in between. It could be a sense of pride. Most people forget that pride is a huge source of sin in people's lives. People thinking, I can do this without God. I said that to Asif when I got saved. Yeah, I see all these people saying they can do it with God. I can do it, but I don't need God to do it. Man, that's like one of the worst sins because it doesn't even recognize your need for God to change in an area. So I promise you, every person has a need for them to be able to have God come and intervene in their life. And it is not something that can be dealt with just in the natural, and it's not something that can be dealt with just in the spiritual. It must be addressed in both the spiritual and in the natural. Because here's what I'm trying to say, is that as God takes the River Rochester Church from glory to glory to glory, God's going to have you doing business in the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit, and God's going to have you doing work in the natural. So don't be scared, because the power of God is with you to win. Hallelujah. Now, okay, so I'm going here. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Verse 3, then the Lord sent his message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. Let's see if this fits for any of you. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you are putting them in pockets filled with holes. Don't shout me down, okay? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you now. Go up into the hills, bring down the timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be glorified and honored, says the Lord of Hosts. So you see, there's two things. We're talking about how to advance the kingdom of God. The first point that I'm making is that the word of the Lord will come. And when the word of the Lord comes, you will address it in the natural and you'll address it in the spiritual. When the word of the Lord comes, the word of the Lord is going to address the problems within your life and within your people. Understand that God reproves, rebukes, and corrects those whom he loves. I own a trucking company, okay? And I'm so blessed. We started, and what God has done with me and my company is what I see how is going to happen for the church, is that God has taken us to very small but debt-free for you guys. And I see where you're at right now is like where I was at in my second year of my company. And it's just now towards the end of my third year, my fourth year, that God has exploded. We've grown massively. This year, we'll do over $2 million in gross revenue. We'll provide over $500,000 in payroll services to other families, people that were employed. I mean, that is crazy to be able, like Pastor Jeremiah said, the mark of the blessing on your life is not how much you have, but how much you can give. And that's the blessing that I'm after in my life. Praise God, Pastor Jeremiah is blessed, right? But can I tell you, he is more blessed? The one who gave the watch. Because they came from a place of being able to do that. Amen? So I'm ready to get to that place, man. I'm at that place. I'm ready for you guys to get at that place. I'm ready to grow in that place. I'm ready to go deeper into that place and go higher into that place. But understand is that God will always address the need of the people or the need of the concern. So the second you start to say, man, I don't have a need, or I've got no problem, or I've got no issue, basically what you've done is like a stiff arm to the devil, okay? And if you're really good at it, you probably pay for the Steelers, but if you are not a really good, like, stiff arm to God, you probably pay for the Bills, right? Isn't that how it works? I'm just kidding. I'm not really a football guy, quite honestly. I'm glad to be in the north of New York because there are more hockey people up here than there are football people. Apparently not in this church, though. So, any hockey people in here? No? Okay. Any football? Jordan? So, football people? Okay, great. You guys are just all holy. All you guys do is just study the word all day, winning souls. Y'all are hunting people. Who here is hunting people? Okay. Y'all do anything out here? What type of stuff do you guys do? No one hunts, hockey, football, whatever. Basketball? All right. Okay. You cook venison? Preach it, sister. I like that. Start a business. So this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. The people are saying. He addresses the issue. This is what the people are saying. So we have to allow, when we're allowing God to advance in our life, we have to allow him to address the issues in our life. But understand that God is addressing the issues because he wants to bring promotion in our life. If he can't address an issue, he can't bring the solution. If he can't address the issue, then he can't address the solution. And just like the reason I keep going back to Pastor Jeremiah is because although now in the new covenant, we all hear from God, can hear from God, whether you do or not is up to you, not up to him. But Pastor Jeremiah is the pastor and he's the shepherd here. So do not be dismayed when Pastor Jeremiah comes with a word addressing an issue to help the church. He loves the church, and that's why he's addressing the issue, because God's giving him a solution to address this issue to help you guys go. I'm not saying there is an issue. I'm just saying when it happens, because we're not perfect people. Now, verse 7 and 8, I want to read this. This is awesome, man. Every time I preach this, like the Lord, as I study it, the Lord just gives me more and more information. So verse 7, this is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. So this is it. God addresses the issue and then he gives a plan. God addresses the issue, but then he gives the plan. He says, look at what the Lord of Heaven's army says. He says, look what's happening to you. Now go up. Everybody say, go up. So he says, now go up into the hills, bring down the timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure and be honored in it, says the Lord. So what he's telling people, he's saying, go up into the hills. Now, you guys are in northern New York, so you guys can appreciate this. If I were to go tell you guys to, like, go out and do an open field and cut down some trees, or if I told you to go out to, like, the Adirondack Mountains and cut down some trees, where do you think it would be easier to cut down some trees? Probably the field, right? Is that where the Lord told the people to go? He said, go up to the hills. He said, go up to the mountainside and get the timber. You see, God is taking you to a place that's not easy to get to in the flesh. It's not something that's enjoyable to get to in the flesh. It's not, but his provision is there. The timber is there. The raw material is there. We have to understand that as God asks us to do big things, it's not going to be things that's always enjoyable to our flesh. And that's why I preached last night on when we experience the glory of God, we have to be living dead people. If we want to have massive impact in other people's lives, we have to learn right away it's not about us, it's about other people. So the second that God starts to put a desire in your heart to bless other people, be ready to be challenged by your flesh because he's asking you to go up to the hill country. Now, when he asks people to go up to the hill country, what does he say? What type of wood does God ask people to bring down? Anyone want to shout it out? My translation says timber, okay? Now, this wood that God asked people to get, when you think about going to the Adirondacks and cutting down a tree, what type of wood does that look like to you, Brian? Pine, okay. And how? What's the condition of it? Is it milled? Is it sanded? Or what does it look like? Raw, rough. Go to the difficult areas and get the raw and the rough. You see, I'm prophesying right now about God rebuilding his temple, but what I'm actually talking about is God rebuilding his temple. I'm actually talking about God rebuilding the body of Christ. For too long, the body of Christ has said, it's not time to go out and reap the harvest. It's not time to go out and get people. As we sit in our houses and we have our flat screen TVs, and as our kids enjoy all of the luxuries of life, while the people have lost and they've died, we've said it's not time. But God is saying, oh, now is the time. Now is the time. Go out into the difficult places and get the raw lumber, the people that are ugly in sin, the people that have worms and bugs and termites in them. Go get these raw people. Go get this raw timber. Bring them in. Rebuild my house, and I will come and dwell in it, and I will be glorified. So many times when we talk about rebuilding the church or when we talk about winning the lost, we have this idea that we want perfectly milled, perfectly planed, perfectly squared, even polyurethane pieces of timber delivered to our front door that we can just say, oh, wow, you're even pre-cut to 12 foot 6 inches just like I needed. I have this spot for you perfectly. Right? Oh, what do you know? You fit perfect. That is not how God is rebuilding his church. God is rebuilding his church by giving you the fire on the inside of you to go up to the hill country to get this timber to come down, to bring it in. And it's us that's, and you know what? Some of you guys are going to have axes. Some of you are like, I don't want an axe. Some of you are like, yeah, I want a chainsaw. Brum, brum. You know, you're like, no, I don't want a chainsaw. And some of you guys are like, oh, just give me like a sander. I just want like a little sand. Don't worry, God will have that job for you. Others are like, no, I don't want a sand either. Just give me a saw. Okay, we'll just give you. And they're like, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to like paint with a paintbrush. Okay, no problem. Some of you guys will do that. But every single one of you are going to be involved with the rebuilding of God's temple. Thank you, Jesus. So the first step in advancing the kingdom of God is that the word of the Lord comes. Everybody say the word of the Lord. Now, the second part of this, I'm going to hop down to verse 12 right here. It says, then Zerubbabel, who was the governor, and Jeshua, which was the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people. Everybody say the whole remnant. The whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message from the Lord their God. When they heard the words of the prophet Haggai, whom their God had sent, the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people with this message, saying, I am with you. Verse 14, so the Lord sparked enthusiasm, or in other translation it says he stirred their spirits. So the Lord sparked enthusiasm in Zerubbabel, the governor, in Jeshua, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people. The second part of advancing the kingdom of God is people work the word. You know, it wasn't enough just for God to say, go up to the hill country and get the timbers. How many times has God said, go and do this thing? The breakthrough and victory doesn't come in receiving the word. The breakthrough and the victory comes in the obedience to the word and in the working of the word. Ooh, somebody get convicted today this morning. God is speaking to somebody like, oh, yeah, you did tell me to do that. The good news is that the time has not yet passed. And I want you to know, at the time that this word came, it was 17 years after the word, the Lord had first given the order to rebuild the church. So don't worry, your time has not yet passed. See, God addressed the natural and the spirit, and the natural and the spirit and the whole remnant of God's people began to obey the message. It doesn't say just the people that didn't have jobs. It didn't say just the people who had jobs. It didn't say just the men. It didn't say just the women. It didn't say just the kids. It didn't say just the well-abled or just the well-bodied. It didn't say just those who look pretty. It didn't say just those who are not so pretty. It didn't say those that have a whole lot of hair or those who don't have so much hair. It doesn't say those who are hipsters and those who are not hipsters. It said the whole remnant of God's people obeyed the Lord. And as God is rebuilding his church, and as God is rebuilding the people in this region, which can't be done through one church, there's how many hundreds of thousands of people? You said 700 and something thousand people. Impossible for one church to do it. There is plenty of room for several mega churches to be planted in this area because there's so much work that God has to do. But it's all these people who responded to hear the voice of the Lord their God. And God did not call people to change their lifestyle or their income or their living or their job or their this. He just said, go and do these things. And when they heard the words, the prophet Haggai, for whom the Lord sent, the people feared the Lord. And I'm actually really glad that Pastor Jeremiah shared on Psalms 34, because one of the things he talked about was a fear of the Lord, and it wasn't, and I don't really have to go into it because y'all heard it before, but it wasn't a fear of the Lord like an afraid. It was like a fear, like a reverential awe. Actually, I'm going to read it in the Amplified version because I like it. It says, then Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people who returned from captivity, they listened to and obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Check this out. Not vaguely or partly, but completely, according to the words of everybody say, not vaguely or partly, but completely. And it says, the word of the Lord of the prophet Haggai, since the Lord their God had sent them, and the people reverently feared and worshipfully turned to the Lord. You see, it was at this moment where people had a point of repentance where they personally returned to the Lord and said, God, I worship you. I reverentially fear you. You see, when we come and we do the work of God, people's hearts will start to fear the Lord. That where areas that you hadn't been fully yielded over to God, they'll start to come and be yielded over to God. The word of the Lord will come. He'll address the direction. He'll give the plan. And then notice that the people started to obey, and then their heart was turned, because God has called us to live by faith and not by sight. He's asking you today that even though your heart might not be fully turned right at this moment, but you know that God is getting a hold of you. You might not be fully ready to change, but you say, God, I know you're trying to get into my business. I know you're trying to get into my family. I know you're trying to get into my home life. As you just recognize that God is wanting to get in, when you recognize that, then God will do the work and he'll start to turn your heart. If you're not sure yet, well, let me continue reading. Because in verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave the people this message from the Lord, saying, I am with you. I am with you. And check this out, verse 14. So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm of Zerubbabel, which was the governor, and enthusiasm of Jeshua, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people. You see, when your heart turns to God, and when you receive the word of God, when you start to operate the plan and the purpose of God, God will come in the natural realm, and he will quicken your mortal body, and God will come in your spirit realm, and he'll bring enthusiasm in your spirit. Because the Bible says that it is God that is all the while at work in you, creating in you the will and the desire to work for his good pleasure. What it takes for us is just a yielding and saying, God, let your plans and your purposes be done in my life. And that's what this word is prophetically speaking. When it says that the Lord sparked enthusiasm in Zerubbabel, which was the governor, what that's saying is God will spark enthusiasm in your natural body when you begin to fear and worship the Lord. When the word of God comes, when the plan of God comes, and when you obey that plan and step out in faith, God will spark enthusiasm in Zerubbabel. He'll spark enthusiasm in that natural realm. And when you obey the word of the Lord, enthusiasm will also come to the high priest. It'll also come to the spirit realm. God will also breathe a fire in your spirit. He'll also motivate your spirit. He'll also give you a passion in your spirit. And it comes to all the remnant of God's people, which means that it's a full and complete work, that nothing is missing, nothing is lacking, and nothing is broken. And the enthusiasm of God will be in this entire church in Jesus' name. Are you guys tracking along with me in the spirit? Awesome, man. I love this, man. And this is so cool. And I'm going to just wrap up with this point. So the word of the Lord comes, and then people work the word and they receive spiritual revival. Okay? Now the third part in advancing. And why am I sharing this? Because the Lord is starting a work right now. And I feel the same way. I wasn't going to reinvite myself back, but when we come back, there's going to be work that we're going to do together. You know, this is cool. Okay, so the Lord was showing me this even about our particular situation, just how we're working together, is that the Lord did it by the Spirit and in the natural. And like you always said, and this is one thing that you guys all need to learn from your pastor, because he does this wonderfully, is he says, I don't want to do anything unless I receive it in the Spirit first. I don't want to do anything unless I receive it in the Spirit first. And I believe that that's what these last couple days have been. It's been a receiving in the Spirit. God is ready to pour out his plans in the natural, but we needed to receive it by the Spirit first. That's what Friday night was. That's what Saturday night was. And that's what this morning is. It's a receiving of the work in the Spirit, and God is preparing us for the work in the natural that lies ahead. So I know when we come back, there's going to be some natural work that we're going to have to put our hands to. Okay, I'm going to look at everybody. I know when we come back, there's going to be some natural work that we're going to have to put our hands to and do. But you want to know what's on the other end of that natural work? Spiritual reward. And it's going to be your brothers. It's going to be your sisters. It's going to be your moms, your dads. It's going to be your coworkers, your aunts, your uncles. That's what's on the other side. Because you're looking at your family members right now saying, man, that's a raw timber. You're saying, I think I've seen termites crawl out of their nose before. That is some raw timber. And you might not be the one to chop the timber down. It might be somebody else. In fact, the people to reach your family might not even be somebody right here, right now. But how cool, because this is how God works. It could be somebody who you reach, who reaches somebody who they reach, who now comes back and reaches into your family and comes and says, and it all is happening before your eyes. And God is saying, look, this is your spiritual reward for the natural work that's happening. But they still got a termite coming out. So now we got a little bit of more natural work to do. And we're going to continue to grow and we're going to continue to work. But this is what I will promise you, is that we will rebuild the house of the Lord and God will be glorified in it. Hallelujah. Now, I want to wrap up here with Haggai 2. I want to start in verse 3. And it says, does anybody remember this house, this temple in its former splendor? How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now, says the Lord of hosts, be strong, Zerubbabel, be strong, Jeshua, the high priest, be strong, all of you people still left in the land. And now get to work, for I am with you, says the Lord of heaven's army. My spirit remains among you, just as I promised you when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid, for this is what the Lord of heaven's army says, is just in a little while I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasure of all nations will be brought to this temple, and I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. The future of this temple will be greater than the past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place I will bring peace and prosperity. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. You see, God came because he knew. He said, do not be afraid. You don't need to tell somebody to not be afraid who's not be afraid. You only need to tell somebody to not be afraid who's feeling afraid. If you have a kid and their room is clean, are you going to tell your kid to go clean their room? No, the room is clean. If your kid brushed their teeth, you're not going to say, hey, go brush your teeth, because their teeth are brushed. If God is telling us do not be afraid, it must be because the people at that time felt fear in their hearts. And he said, just like I, you know, and I didn't even realize this till now as I'm reading it, because I don't know, but my spirit remains among you just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. Just like we shared last night, that glory that God had promised to that generation, to those people coming out of Egypt, is the same glory that God is promising to these people at this time. And if that glory was good enough for them now, how much greater is God's glory going to be for this generation? He says in verse 3, does anyone remember this house? He's basically saying, look, what you're looking at right now, I know it looks pathetic. In the natural, I know it looks like nothing compared to what was before, because when Solomon had this temple ordained, when Solomon had this temple built, it was so beautiful that people would come. The Queen of Sheba came and she passed out. She fainted for how beautiful this temple was. And now the temple is lying in ruins and the prophet is saying, look, I know what you're looking at right now doesn't really look like much, but I'm telling you what is happening is the glory of what this house is becoming is going to be greater than what this house was. Because this is what I'm telling you, church, is that that church, that temple, as beautiful as it was, as glorious as the or as the gold was, as glorious as all this thing was, there was few that could be impacted with it. But the glory that God has put in his church people is a glory so great that it could not be contained in one location. It was a glory so great that he had to send his son to die to be released upon all of humanity so that we could go to Rochester, we could go to Greece, we could go to Brockport, and we could see not one queen fall out under the power, but we could see many queens and many kings fall under the power of God. When discouragement comes, we must listen for the voice of the Lord our God. God is coming to give encouragement. He is saying, my spirit remains among you. So the third part in advancing the kingdom of God is staying committed. Even when what you're looking at might seem pathetic compared to what was, some of y'all come from a church that was maybe a big church that had all these nice amenities, and you're looking at a church that's built many years ago and saying, man, this doesn't look like that church. Well, that's funny, because that's exactly what Haggai said. Does any remember the old temple that you came from in its former splendor? How does this place compare? Does it look anything like that now? It must seem like nothing at all. But now the Lord says, be strong. That's the word of encouragement that's God saying to you. He says, you're in the right place. You're at the right time. Be strong for the work that I'm doing. You see, God is preparing this church for an explosion of his glory and for an outpouring of his spirit, because he's saying, my spirit is coming and I will shake that all can be shaken. There might be churches out there that can be shaken, but the River Rochester is a church that will not be shaken. He says, the gold is mine and the silver is mine, and I'm bringing in the desire of all nations, and all that can be shaken will be shaken, but what I've established shall remain. And that's what God is doing in your heart. That's what God is doing in your family. As we're building this church, I promise you that God is building a work in you that cannot be shaken, that no devil in hell can shake the foundation in your life. No temptation of the world can shake it. No word of man can shake, because what resides in you is only the word of the Lord our God. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we can sit here and people can say, well, how can you say that? Look around you. Does this compare to that? But I'm not looking at what I see here. I'm looking at what I see here. Ooh, man, I'm just prophesying. There is a new building coming your way. I see, like, there's little things, especially, man, there's little things that have bothered you about this place that are, like, very natural things that, like, and I don't know nothing. I'm just saying what the Holy Ghost is saying. They're, like, very natural things that's not how you would do things at all. But the next place that you're going to have is going to have more than abundantly anything that you could have wanted this place. Even the carpet is going to be exact. In fact, even if you don't want carpet, you're going to be able to have carpet where you want carpet, and maybe tile or wood where you want tile or wood. You're going to be able to have the new light fixtures you want, where you want the new light fixtures. It's going to have all of that. And I see it. Like, all I can see is y'all's feet. I just see feet walking in this new carpet right now. I just see the feet walking. Why? Because God is establishing that work. And I'm here letting you know that I believe that we're not filled with a church of people that's going to say, well, when is it coming? Well, when is it coming? Surely it's time. Surely it's not time. Surely it is. Surely it's not. No, I believe I'm sitting in a group of people where the church is sold out. And instead of saying, I'm waiting for it to come, they're saying, give me my axe. Give me my chainsaw. Give me my sander and my paintbrush. I'm ready to go to the hill country. I'm ready to go get the lumber. I'm ready to go bring in the harvest. It is time that my God is glorified in Brockport, New York. So as the tide rises, as you see some people getting blessed, don't say to yourself, I wish that was my family member. I wish that was my aunt. Why didn't I get that watch? Why didn't I get that thing? Just realize that that boat was positioned right there at that time, but that the tide is rising for all of us. And if it happened for him yesterday, that means it's happening for you today. And if it doesn't happen for you today, it means it's happening tomorrow, because the blessing of God is on your life, and your life will never be the same. I want to pray for everybody right now. The power of God is in this place today. God has stirred you. The Spirit of God has come. I believe that the Word of the Lord has come, that the Word of the Lord has addressed the Spirit, and He is establishing the natural in Pastor Jeremiah. The Word of the Lord has come. The work is being done in the Spirit, and you will see there will be plans that come over the next several weeks, over the next several months, that God is starting a work. This isn't a flippant work. This isn't a casual work. This isn't a let's try this work, but God is driving pilings into the ground. God is building a foundation in this ground. God is starting a work in whom He will build His glorious temple. And I believe that there will not be one of you that is left out. I believe that those whom Jesus has, is that the devil cannot pluck one of them out of Jesus' hands. I believe that the Holy Ghost has sealed your hearts. I believe that the Holy Ghost has made Himself real to you. And if He hasn't, today is the day. Now is the time. Nobody knows the time or the hour in which their life might be required of them. Let me ask you today, my friends, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? Do you know, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that it would be heaven? Are you fully persuaded? Could you come up to me and tell me, yes, Troy, I know? Because if you can't, today you can know. The Bible says that if we would believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, confess with our mouth that God has raised Him from the dead, that we shall be saved. And I know that I talked today a lot about how God is rebuilding this church, but the advancement of God's kingdom
also is the advancement in your personal life. It's God establishing His plan. If you own a business, God's word will come. You'll have to work the plan and you'll have to stay committed to that plan. If you have a family or a family issue, the word of God will come. You'll have to work the word and you'll have to stay committed. You see, the foundation for this message, it will spill over to every area for your life. If you have a physical difficulty in your body, the word of the Lord will come. You'll work the word of the Lord and you'll stay committed to the word of the Lord. If you have an issue with your home, maybe you're on the edge of foreclosure or you're on the edge of some financial catastrophe, that God will come in and He'll give you a word. You'll work the word and you'll stay committed to that word.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.